You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its Constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats? Or regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well, then America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms of our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Diamond Jim's Gas Grill, 325 Meyer Avenue in East Dundee, at the corner of Meyer and Barrington Avenues, on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
The following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I'm your host, Kenneth John. With me is my excellent producer, Mike. How you doing?
Not so bad.
You know, I missed, that's right, I did miss because we went to the Cub game last night. I missed the, what happened with the U.S. Open?
Ah, some guy came out of nowhere and won it.
Yeah?
Yeah, some guy came out of nowhere and won it. A guy I've never heard before came back and he won it. Jim Furyk didn't win it. Tiger Woods didn't win it.
Was Tiger up there? Was he contesting?
He was contesting all the way up until yesterday, and then all of a sudden, the guy who won it finished with a plus one.
Oh, wow. Well, so, that's the U.S. Open. That's
yeah. Weird. They talk about a tough course. Did you see any of it?
I saw it. It looked beautiful.
Well, yeah, it looks real beautiful, but can you imagine how narrow the fairways are? And
right.
Just brutal. Brutal.
Yeah. All right. So, another one out of nowhere then. That's interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Came back from, I think it was five over to start the day, and
wow.
He finished with one over. So he actually had a nice finishing round.
No kidding. All right, let's move on to the outrageous regulation of the week. This is from Tulsa, Oklahoma. This lady, Denise Morrison, She would use her yard to plant flowers, vegetables, you name it, mm-hmm. plants, front and backyard. She was told her front yard by the village city authorities that her front yard could not be just plants, you know.
What?
Unless they were edible. They had to be edible plants, or she could not grow anything on her front yard.
As we all know, grass is edible, right? Is that what they're saying?
Well, or I mean, if there are other edible plants, that's fine. So she actually adhered to the regulation.
Okay.
She planted a bunch of different types of edible plants.
Sure.
Which actually, let's see. She said she treats her, you know, with that she treats her arthritis. She, you know, some she has for spices. She, uh-huh. she grows some to keep mosquitoes away and treat bug bites. It didn't matter to the authorities. And last August, Morrison's front back, yeah, they're filled in. Last August, this was Morrison's front and backyards were filled with flowers in bloom: lemon, stevia, garlic, chives, grapes, strawberries, apple, mint, peppermint, apple tree, walnut tree, pecan tree. Sounds pretty cool.
It does sound all right.
She got a letter from the city saying that wouldn't go, wouldn't do. Everything needs to go, she was told. When she heard they wanted to cut it all down, she called the police. The officers issued her a citation so it could be worked out in court. So she went to court on August 15th, and the judge told them to come back in October. But the very next day, the city authorities cut down most of her plants.
Oh, my gosh. Went onto her property and destroyed it.
Yeah, just went on the property and destroyed it. They even cut down some of her trees, ones that bore fruit and nuts, and went up next to her house and basically removed everything in front, or in her front flower bed. She says, I came back 3 days later, sat in my driveway, cried, and left. So she decided to do something about it, and she filed a lawsuit. And that's where it stands. There's a lawsuit filed. God, I'd love to be on her jury.
Right?
I posted this on Facebook, and one of my colleagues and friend, he listens to the show. He'd probably be laughing right now. He suggested, you know, he quoted J.R. Ewing about the uselessness of the law, and suggested that maybe somebody should be coming to these code enforcement got people's property with some Roundup.
Okay. sure, absolutely.
That would seem to be a just
retaliation.
It's just so outrageous. It's kind of an elderly black lady, you know, just trying to be as self-sufficient as she can. And no, we can't have that. We can't have that. Everybody's got to be the same. Everybody's got to grow their grass the same, and everybody's got to be. It's trim. Oh, it just drives me nuts. That attitude, that suburban attitude, drives me crazy.
Well, that's what I was saying before. Is if she wants to plant grass, that's not edible. I mean, everyone else has got their yards full of non-edible stuff like grass and.
Oh, is it a? Bushes. I don't know. I remember my mother saying, "If you don't like what I serve you, go out and eat grass."
Eat the grass.
That was her.
Yeah.
That was her.
I would prefer a walnut tree. Go out there and pick some walnuts.
Sure.
And, you know, have some fresh chives for your potatoes. That you
I think that'd be that's real cool.
How what? About it? You can go pick some pecans,
this,
you know?
This is where our country is at, in this country.
Roast them, salt them, you'd be happy for the night. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. What I don't know is how people can allow this stuff to happen.
Ken, you work for me. Here's a saw. Go cut that lady's tree down. It's your job. I quit. I will quit my job before I take out this lady's walnut tree. I'm sorry. You find someone else to do it. And if
there you go. There you go. Yeah, there you go. Sanction of the victim.
Come on.
Don't sanction the process. I'm not going to be part of this.
No, of course not. I know what's right and wrong, and this is wrong. I don't care if it's my job or not. If you fire me for this, there's another lawsuit. You don't go cut a woman's yard down. You just don't do that.
Just do that. It was not even with, I mean, not that it would have been right, but not even with a court order. They just arbitrarily come in and say, you know, well, it's not, you know, maybe they know better. It isn't it, because it's not our property.
Of course not.
It all belongs to the state, and that proves right, it, doesn't right. it, folks? You're all living in a delusional dream world if you think we have freedom in this country, folks. A delusional dream world. Speaking, no. All right, well, we are going to have a guest coming up, Carla Howell. She is the executive director of the Libertarian Party. Should be an interesting discussion. I urge you to hang on, and we will be back after a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones.
Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19th out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected
George W. Bush
as president
and re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public schools.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings need your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bast, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need software installed and configured? Call John. Want to learn word processing or Excel spreadsheets? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want to upgrade your computer? Call John. Need to build a wireless network? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings, and I'd like to welcome to the show right now Carla Howell, who is the executive director for the Libertarian Party. Carla, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Ken?
I'm doing fine. You have been a libertarian activist for a long time, especially in Massachusetts, led various tax reducing efforts and, what, tried to eliminate the state income tax a few times?
Yes, we did.
And did you actually get anything reduced? I know, and it was a valiant effort. I don't recall if you actually won.
No, we did. We did not. The first time we ran our End the Income Tax ballot initiative was in 2002, and we were polling low enough that our opposition just sort of pretended it wasn't there, didn't put up a big fight, didn't spend any money trying to defeat it. Although every editorial newspaper, every editorial in the state, bar one, came out against it. The Boston Globe ran three editorials against it, in addition to numerous columns. So it was, you know, opposed within the media, but they pretty much kept a low profile. And then we came in with 45% of the vote, which shocked the political establishment of Massachusetts.
So you woke them up.
Yeah. We were polling 27 to 37%, and then we ended up with 45. So they said, oh, my God. The state constitution doesn't allow you to run the same initiative again for 6 years. So we did it again in 2008. And this time they came out with all their tanks and guns and planes and spent $7 million to drive down our poll numbers. It was also a presidential election year with Obama bringing out record voters and record Democrat voters. So where we knew it was going to be tough in a presidential election year, that coupled with the money drove our percentage down, though our vote total actually went up. But our percentage ended up at 30%. Hmm. 2 years later, in 2010, the legislature had just raised the sales tax from 5% to 6.25%. And 2010 being a non-presidential year, we said this is too much of an opportunity to pass up. So we ran our rollback taxes initiative, which cut the sales tax in half down to 3%. And they spent $4.5 million. We were ahead in the polls. We were hoping that with a bad economy and the anger over the sales tax increase, it would be enough to keep us in the winning side, you know, over 50%. But they spent $4.5 million that time, and they also engaged in an unprecedented get-out-the-vote effort, which at least according to what they claimed, was aimed at the Republican candidate for governor. But they were... That same get out the vote campaign was used to fight our ballot initiative. We ended up with 43%. So
well,
it did not pass.
Taxachusetts, after all.
Well, what it is it's not the people. It's very clear to me, having been out in the field campaigning, in addition to I ran for U.S. Senate, I ran for governor, I ran for state auditor in Massachusetts. I've been involved in numerous campaigns up there. It's very clear to me that even in liberal Massachusetts, and I'm guessing in every so-called liberal big government state, New York, Illinois, California, all these states have people in them that, like all over America, are really fundamentally against big government and for cutting taxes. The problem is way too many of them don't vote. If these people all voted, we would have won every one of those initiatives. Small government candidates across the country would be winning much, much more. And the problem is, more than any other single problem I know, and there's many challenges to winning elections, but it's the apathy of voters who it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy when they say it doesn't matter, so they stay home. So they say it doesn't matter, so they stay home. Then they see it doesn't matter, so they stay home. And they're right, in a sense, but it is a self-fulfilling prophecy, whereas our opponents who profiteer from big government, government unions, government contractors, whether they're on the so-called right or so-called left, all these groups that profit from big government and their family and their friends and their neighbors and their mothers and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles get out and vote.
Well,
and
you know, I mean, you make an interesting point, but I think like what some of these people think when you say they're, I don't know if it's actually apathetic, they're disgusted with the system, and I think they think the system's so corrupt that even if they had the votes, they're not going to get the votes. And I would point out to what's been happening with the Ron Paul campaign within the Republican Party, where, you know, there's been broken bones at these state conventions. It's really gotten ridiculous. Ron Paul should have a lot more delegates than he has, except for the fact that you know, the establishment Republican Party has just thrown their own rules out the window. And I think a lot of people think that's what would happen with all these other elections, too. They've given up on the system because they think the system is corrupt to the core.
Well, it does. If they showed up to vote, though, they wouldn't, whatever corruption level there is, I don't think it's nearly bad enough that they could overcome a phenomenon of people finally having a massive awakening, getting up out of their seats and voting. They would not, because the voting process, though there's problems with voting machines and so forth, I'm not saying it's perfect by any means, but it's still competitive between Democrats and Republicans, and that creates some accountability and visibility. And I think there's quite a few elections where the vote count really is the vote count. The problem is people aren't voting who want less government, who are on our side. That is a problem. And furthermore, what we discovered, especially in the last campaign in 2010, was that the Republicans who alleged to want low taxes, alleged to want less government in Massachusetts were absolutely horrendous in that they were reinforcing this apathy. They were effectively telling voters to stay home while pretending that they weren't, and undermining them and convincing them, yeah, nothing will change. It's all hopeless. It's all terrible. But isn't it bad? Isn't it bad? and this behavior, I fought as much as I fought against our big government opponents, trying to get them to stop doing this. They were actively discouraging voters from turning out to the polls, which was just insane, and hurting their own Republican candidates in the process as well. Because they don't want less government. They don't want massive, they don't want bold tax cuts that we were proposing.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, then that brings us to the Libertarian Party. You've been executive director since, December? I believe.
That's right, yeah.
And you've got a tough job ahead of you, because there's been a growing split amongst the libertarian activists and the Libertarian Party as far as what direction to go. And there are some who think that I'm going to have a hard time being objective about this, but it seems to me some people want to throw our principles out the window and just get elected and call it libertarian. I may be exaggerating, and you can correct me. And there's others who want to adhere to principle and really don't care as much about election results, but want to use the elections more as an educational way of showing how government doesn't work and government isn't right, that sort of thing. And I think it came to the forefront this past convention with a few nasty fights, but one over the idea that we should have a poll tax amongst libertarians in order to vote in their convention, which effectively kept out a lot of really hard activists who don't do nothing but just get petitions signed and write letters to the editor and do radio shows and that sort of thing.
Well, I think those are two different issues, and I'll address the first one about this alleged split. I don't perceive there to be a split. I know that this is an issue that has come up, and I think it's really the wrong focus. The idea, when people say stick to your principles versus be practical, well, we ran an End the Income Tax ballot initiative in Massachusetts that would have taken, in 2002, $9 billion out of a then approximately $22, $23 billion state budget. It would have cut. Now, it turns out there's a whole bunch of additional off-budget spending that we, over the years, uncovered. If you just take the main budget, the money they admit to spending, it was about a 40% reduction. If you include all of their spending, it was about a 17% reduction, which is still sizable. And it would have meant, $9 billion left in their coffers, which was significant for a state of the size of Massachusetts in that year. And it got 45% of the vote. Now, libertarians are doing very well if at the legislative level they get 20 or 30% of the vote, especially if it's a three-way race. It's usually much less. In a two-way race, we sometimes see our candidates getting 20, 30. At the statewide level or presidential level, it's usually zero, 1, 2, 3, 4, small single digits. And we were able to prove that in Massachusetts, 45% of the of the voters there, not to mention the whole population, were ready to say get rid of the entire income tax.
Okay, well, so, that's an initiative, and I don't know if you're suggesting that libertarians focus more on initiatives and less than on trying to elect presidents who end up endorsing the likes of Newt Gingrich this past election.
The point that I'm making is you can be bold and popular at the same time. So the idea that you need to be practical by being less bold by
we're in agreement, and I think Ron Paul is a perfect example of that.
He's
I mean, you may disagree with one or two of his issues, but he's uncompromising. He does not pander. He stands up for what he believes, and people respond to that. So I agree with you on the boldness. It doesn't seem to me to be bold when a Libertarian Party nominates the likes of Bob Barr, who's nothing close to being a Libertarian, number one, and has shown it, proven it, by endorsing Newt Gingrich this past election.
That was quite disappointing.
Yes.
I'm not going to defend it in the least, in the same way that Rand Paul endorsed Mitt Romney. They're basically the same thing.
Yeah.
And there's no excuse.
There's no excuse. Absolutely. But we still have, there's people on, and I know you're, as executive director, you have to kind of be above all the inter politicking that goes on, but you have, you still have one or two people on the executive, national committee who, I really think what they want to do is just, try to get an influence through the conservative Republicans and that, like, that's the route to go. One of them, I think he actually is an advisor or whatever for Fox News and advocates things like, advocates war, which I don't understand the kind of wars that we have in the Middle East, how any libertarian could ever advocate that. I don't even know how that makes them libertarian, but I guess that's another story. But, my other half of that question was...
By the way, I fully support and I encourage libertarian candidates to be bold, including saying, bring the troops home. We helped Gary Johnson produce a video here. We haven't finished editing it yet. But it basically is his plea to bring the troops home from some of the 130 countries around the world where they don't belong. We encourage candidates to take bold, get out of Afghanistan, get out of Iraq, stay out of the Middle East. These are all libertarian positions. Many libertarian candidates have made them part of their platform. We're starting to see a nice selection of congressional and U.S. Senate candidates around the country, including Dan Cox in Montana running for U.S. Senate in what could be a very, what is sizing up to be a very highly visible U.S. Senate race, because the it could influence the balance of the Republicans and Democrats in the Senate. So that he was in a debate on Saturday, and he is scheduled to be in one on the 24th. And after the debate on Saturday, the Republican withdrew from the next debate, which last I heard is still scheduled to go on without him, with just him and the Democrat. And it was scheduled to be on C-SPAN. We hope that it will still be aired on C-SPAN and get national coverage. We have a bunch of interesting candidates around the country, and many of them have no problem advocating, let's get out of war, stay out of war, cut military spending, cut federal government spending dramatically. We have Kalen Fretz down in Florida, who's advocating, he was mentioned in the New York Times recently in a three-way race, and he has proposed, his main concern is immediately reducing the budget by $1.4 trillion so that we're out of the red and stop deficit spending. And he agrees we shouldn't stop there. We should keep cutting after that. We're seeing a number of candidates coming forth with these bold reductions of government, including getting out of war, getting out of the Middle East, ending deficit spending, ending debt spending, and dramatically cutting taxes, as well as, ending the war on drugs and repealing the Patriot Act, getting rid of numerous agencies, and that's just the federal agenda. There's much more at the state and local level that needs to be reduced, removed, repealed, to get us firmly in the direction of much, much less government and more freedom.
Well, that is very encouraging what you say. And you did mention Gary Johnson before, and I have to point this out as I think everybody's ignoring from Steve Covey. I've been announcing this on Facebook all over the place, and nobody – it's like hear no evil, speak no evil, see no evil. I thought Gary Johnson would be a decent candidate maybe a year ago, especially I loved his forthright stance against the drug war. He's, you know, vetoed bills, you know, like no governor ever has done when he was governor of New Mexico. But
750 bills he vetoed.
It was very, what's the word I want to use? Well, disconcerting at the very least when I watched him on Fox News special report by Brett Baer last fall when he was running as a Republican for president. And they asked him about Obama assassinating, I don't know if they use that word, American citizen, Alawaki, never pronounce that, Alawaki, and asked what Johnson, Gary Johnson, what he would do. And I have a quote right in front of me. This is right off of the transcript. And I saw this personally, too. And then I got the transcript, and they jive together exactly. Here's what Gary Johnson said. It wasn't opposed. Well, it's kind of confusing at first. Opposed to go. I wasn't actually opposing that order. It was the notion, first of all, that this is unprecedented. This is an American citizen. And if I were to have signed that order, and I am not saying that I wouldn't have signed that order, where was the transparency for such an unprecedented action? I would have been very, very transparent.
Which issue are you talking about?
I'm talking about the murdering of Alawaki, the U.S. citizen, Obama. And Gary Johnson was asked by the Brett Baer panel, special report, about this. And this was his response. And I would have been, what he says, I would have been very, very transparent. Here is why I am ordering an assassination of U.S. citizen, unprecedented in the history of the country, and why I really do view this to be a national security threat. So he's saying he possibly would have done it. I was shocked, and I can't believe people would support somebody who calls himself libertarian that would support the assassination of an American citizen without any due process of law. And I think I need, because I feel like I'm a voice in the wilderness about this in the Libertarian Party. We can't just shove this under the rug. I had Gary Johnson on my radio show, and I quoted this to him. He denied saying it.
Well, you know, he said, I can't weigh in on this one. I don't have the information, so I'm not going to comment on this one. Sorry.
Well, I'll give you the link. I'll send it to you later. It's a pretty long link. But if you look up foxnews.com on-air special report 2011, here's the date, 10/17. And then it's / Gary Johnson reveals his primary game plan. It's right there.
Okay.
It's right there, and it's very disappointing, to say the least. We're talking with Executive Director Carla Howell of the Libertarian Party. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. Have any questions, comments, observations, perspectives, give us a call. We will be back after a few messages.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats? Or regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well, then America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms of our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Diamond Jim's Gas Grill, 325 Meyer Avenue in East Dundee, at the corner of Meyer and Barrington Avenues, on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
And you may see me tonight with an illegal smile. It don't cost very much, but it lasts a long while. Won't you please tell the man I didn't kill anyone? No, I'm just trying to have me some fun. Well done, hot dog bun. My sister's a nun.
All right, we are back with Executive Director Carla Howell, Libertarian Party. What do you say we go to the phones, Carla?
Sure.
All right. We have Jeff. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing okay, you guys. Good Monday morning to everybody, first off.
Good morning
and
to you.
Happy belated Father's Day to everyone out there, too.
I'm disappointed anyway. My dog Maggie did not give me a Father's Day gift.
Oh, Jimmy, I'm sorry. I'll have to send you one in the mail for you. Take care of your dog. Anyway, interesting topic. Ken knows that I'm a Green Party, or was a Green Party volunteer for Dan Karas. Now, big mistake, and I think unless you were part of the Republican Party or the Democratic Party, nobody's going to listen to you. And I don't personally see a difference between the two anymore. I think we have one party, and that's it. The reason I bring this up is Rand Paul, if Ron Paul was so great, everybody talks about, how come Rand bailed and went with somebody else? How come there isn't more support behind Ron Paul? And this goes to the same thing with Libertarian candidates. It's like, my biggest fear is that we're going to end up being a socialist-type country, and you're not going to have a choice. You're basically going to be able to told where to go, where to do, and how high to jump and all that, and I think we've gotten about halfway there. I mean,
well, Jeff,
let Carla respond. You're throwing a bunch of different topics out.
Yeah. Jeff, you say you used to be a Green. Are you still a Green?
No, I'm not. I'm so sick and tired of the political process, I don't think I'm going to vote anymore, because honestly, I don't think it makes a difference.
Well, Jeff, are you libertarian?
No,
Jeff, are you
not,
libertarian?
No, because you're no different than the Green Party. I mean,
we're pretty much polar opposites of the Green Party. I mean, we agree on a few issues like ending the war on marijuana, but the Greens have not been very outspoken on the few issues where we agree. I disagree with you, Jeff. I would agree, however, that the third parties, the Libertarian Party, the Green Party, Independents, do have a very tough time The election process is monopolized by and large by the Democrats and Republicans. They have instituted all kinds of policies, from campaign finance law to gerrymandering districts, and above all to winning the hearts and minds of the major media, to very much the advantage of the challengers. And so the two old parties dominate, and that is a tough nut to crack. There's no question about that, and that's what we, the Libertarian Party, are fighting against every day. These unfair ballot access laws, you know, you name it. There's a long list of ways in which the Democrats and Republicans are propped into the position that they are, does not represent what the people want. I firmly believe, I don't believe Greens are particularly popular. I don't think most Americans want a socialist government policy. I have observed that the majority of Americans are much more in line with the Libertarians than either the Democrats or Republicans or the Greens. They want less government. They think it's too big. They want lower taxes. They are very against the bailouts and big government spending. They don't want us to be engaged in endless wars. They want the troops home from Iraq and Afghanistan. This is where most Americans are today, and this is what the Libertarians have advocated for forever and what the Democrats and Republicans have opposed forever. So, in fact, they're the perpetrators of big government. Both of them are. So now the question is, if you quit voting, first of all, I would listen and learn to programs like this one about why does libertarianism make sense much more than any of these other parties. And there's a lot of reasons for that, and I encourage you to keep an open mind to that and look into that. You know, go to our website, lp.org, and find out why we do what we do. We've got some videos there we call Libertarian Solutions, where some of our candidates and party members speak to why get rid of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, why get rid of the Department of Education, why get out of the wars, why bring the troops home, why cut taxes, why cut spending. We lay it out there and explain how our lives will be better if we implement these libertarian solutions, and why keeping big government big, as the Democrats and Republicans do, is making things worse. So first and foremost, get some of those basics. It doesn't mean you have to read 10 books or anything like that. If you just go to lp.org, you'll get some quick ideas and very fresh ideas from the garbage that is spewed in the mainstream media and by our Democrat and Republican opponents all the time, which basically they're making the case that big government will make things better, bailouts will make things better, wars will make things better.
I'm already way ahead of you on that. I've been listening to Ken for years, and I agree with him. But he's also, talking about some of the frustrations with your party, and I wholeheartedly agree with him. Now, it's been a while. He's kind of, and it's in general, I think most Americans agree with about probably pretty much what you said. The problem is the representation of the people that are involved. I mean, I work for my local township. Okay, I'm involved. Instead of me squawking on the radio all the time, I decided to get involved, and that's where the participation starts. I think, as a general, I mean, most people need to. If you want to crack something, it isn't just writing and calling you guys. It has also start from us at the ground level, getting involved with your town, your city, your state, whatever. The problem is, if you're a little guy like myself, you don't make a lot of money. Unless you have a lot of money to spend, I mean lots of money, and I've said this on his show before, and I'll say this real quick and then get off. The biggest problem I see with America in general is if you give a politician $10 on a parade route or, you know, supporting them, whatever, they'll say hi, thank you, they'll write you a nice note, and then wham, bang, thank you, ma'am, you're gone. But if you give them $10,000, they'll all say, you know, scratch your back if you'll scratch mine type of thing. And that's the problem. It's the money factor in this country. Unless we get rid of the money factor, how much you can give somebody and the term limits, it's never going to change, no matter who's in office. Right. Because you're basically, I firmly believe that China is buying our politicians today. Okay. I really do. I think there's people outside
okay,
of our country.
Okay, Jeff, before you go, Jeff, let me interrupt you. Jeff, before you go off on another subject, let me agree with you. Let me
you
agree with a lot of what you said, because you know, your frustration is well-founded. You've been out there actually working and trying to change things, and we're up against huge odds. I mean, let's take take stock of where we are and where our opponents are. Our opponents have almost all the federal and state office seats, elected office seats in this country, and the vast majority of local ones as well. They have institutional money. They have government unions. They have corporations getting government grants and subsidies and favoritism. There's cartels that have government favoritism. They have the mainstream media completely on their side, lock, stock, and barrel. They have institutions like schools and colleges on their side. They have all the guns, pretty much. We're sitting around with a couple little bows and arrows, and they've got tanks and guns and, you know, the U.S. arsenal. I mean, and the proportion of power, I mean, they outgun us by orders of magnitude. That's a fact. And you're right to say, oh, my God, are we in trouble? Because that really is how it is. Now, the other side of it is we've got the majority. We've got the silent majority who wants what we want. And they have to run their propaganda and ridiculous rhetoric, just as George Orwell illustrated, that, you know, you have to be a master of deception to keep this whole game going. And their whole thing rides on a house of cards. And they may be bringing their own doom with the kind of insane, you know, spending $1.4 trillion more than you have every year. I mean, it's just mind-boggling what they're doing and giving away trillions of dollars in bailouts. I mean, everybody knows this is a big problem, to the point now that it's becoming mainstream to talk about government spending, and it's becoming more and more mainstream to talk about real government spending, the kind that Gary Johnson and Ron Paul have talked about, a trillion and more. You got to be talking trillions at the federal level for it to have any meaning. And people are starting to wake up and realize this is true. We have to do this. Look what's happening to Greece. Look what's happening in Spain. We have to do this. And so the day of reckoning may well be coming. But here's the biggest question I leave you with, Jeff, and anyone who feels like him, and that is, we can sit around and go, oh, my God, we're outgunned, it's hopeless, blah, 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 or we can't just keep fighting and realizing that when you talk hopelessness, you're handing votes to the opposition. You're making it harder. It's already hard, and you're making it much harder when you say things like it's impossible, it's hopeless, and everything else. That's exactly what they want us to say. Don't we want the opposite? Don't we want them giving up voting? Don't we want them saying, forget it, they're going to shrink government, there's nothing we can do about it, don't even bother voting? Or don't you know, wouldn't that be wonderful to turn it on its head? And that is possible, but we have to change the way we talk about it.
I had, Carla, I had to interject Jeff's theme song here on the show. He tends to jump from subject to subject just a little bit, so this is an honor, Jeff. Okay, let's get back. All right, interesting response, Carla. Now, I do think, and we kind of sloughed it off at the beginning, I do think there's this rift in the, within the Libertarian Party. I myself have been an activist since 1980. I thought this convention, this Libertarian convention coming up that just happened, was the most important that I would have ever had attended. I did not attend. Not that I couldn't afford the $95 floor fee, but that I was so vehemently opposed to that idea, and that there are people in the party that thought that was a good idea, that I decided just to boycott the convention. And I wasn't the only person who did that.
Yeah, and, you know, if luckily more people did not boycott it, it was very close. And the thing is, I think there's a lot of different ways you can pay for a convention. You can have a user fee, which is paying, you know, you come, you
right.
pay. You have the privilege of voting and determining the direction of the party. Those who stay home don't. Should you pay for, you know, the hotel and everything else?
Well, let me be clear. I have not opposed it in the past. I should and do pay for meals and hotel rooms and seminars and that sort of thing. But the Libertarian Party in the past, at our state level in Illinois and nationally, have always differentiated that from just going on the floor and voting, because there was a recognition that libertarians that have got there have already paid their price one way or another as activists.
See, here's the thing you got to look at, and I'm not going to weigh in. Frankly, I think this, whatever side you're on, I think this issue's gotten way too much airplay. And there's, you know, Rome is burning, folks. We got to shrink government, and $94 when it costs you $1,000 to go to a convention.
That's not the point. It's not the amount, Carla. It's not the amount of the money.
Yeah. Well,
it's not the $95. It's the fact that anything was charged for it.
Well,
it's the principle
thing is,
it has to
be paid for no matter what, right? Somehow you got to pay for the room. It's not free. $95 is the base cost at the Red Rock. Now, you could find a slightly cheaper hotel.
That's very poor convention planning. Most conventions are going to give you a certain floor
that's
free.
That's not true at all.
If you guarantee meals, if you guarantee
that's
hotel
right.
rooms.
So you pay for it one way or the other. The hotels are not in the charity business. You are paying for it one way or another. And so the actual cost of turning on the lights, having a sound system where people can hear, we had to spend more money at this convention because we went cheap and only got, and we had to add a set of speakers in the back because the people in the back couldn't hear. These are real costs, you know, cost thousands of dollars for these things. So here's the thing. I think on the one hand, you want to ensure that you don't allow the fee to get so high that it can be bought or that people can be shut out. Now, to say that you're shut out for $94 when it costs people on average $1,000 to travel and get a hotel and go to one of these things.
It's not the $94.
That's not shutting. $94
isn't shutting. It's not the $94. You're missing my whole point.
Well, here's the point. And
what I respond to is the likes of War. I can't remember his name because I always call him just War. Wayne Allen Root, who says that if you do this, you'll get a higher quality people. You'll get all that riffraff, all those people that actually go out there and actually do the actual dirty work of getting petitions signed. We'll keep those people out. The implication is what we want is rich libertarians who give money to the party and do nothing else. That's the implication, and that's what I have a vehement, really emotional, charged reaction against.
And I agree with you. We don't want to leave people out, especially people who volunteer. Because volunteers are often more valuable than donors.
Thank you.
Because the work involved in volunteering, I know, because I have managed thousands of volunteers, and it's very difficult. I mean, a lot of them are actually, a lot of the work we need to do, some of it is holding signs and stuffing envelopes, and anyone can do it without any training. But a whole lot of the work that we do involves government research, which is extremely challenging since they don't really open the books. It involves lots of complex strategic marketing expertise. There's a lot of things involved in libertarian activism that is, in fact, very highly skilled, and it involves a lot of skill, and it's hard to find people, frankly, who can do it. And not that they can't do it, it's that it takes training and time, and you're dealing with volunteers, and they've got a job, and they got bills to pay and families. And so it's very, very hard to find people who can do good work, and volunteers who do that work are extremely valuable. And I mean that very sincerely, having lived through it many, many times. So, no, we absolutely do not want to exclude people who contribute. We do want people, however, who do contribute. Now, the thing is, you got to pay for the hotel. So what are the choices? Well, some say take it out of membership dues. Well, if you budget it for that, and if that's a priority, there may be – remember, we've got 14,000 members. And only 700 of them were delegates. So all those 15,000 members are paying for the party, and they may not get to go to the convention. Maybe they can't. They can't afford it. They forget the registration fee.
I remember, by the way, I just have to interject this. I remember the days we had over 1,000 people at the convention, and we never charged a floor fee to have the right to vote at an LP convention. Something's gone wrong since that point in time to this point in time, when libertarianism has never been more popular, and we seem to have almost dwindling numbers at our state, at our national conventions.
Yeah, but there's a lot of factors, and I think the registration fee is very, very low on the list of factors that is involved in our membership levels. There's a lot of factors, but the bottom line is we've got a budget. You know, currently it's $1.6 million for this year, which we're behind on, okay? And the biggest thing we have to fund is ballot access and keeping our operations going here.
You lost $3,000 from me from petitioning. I always volunteer 1,000 signatures to the party. It didn't happen this year for that very reason, because of the floor fee. So
well,
you might have
really
been Katie Wise Pound foolish there.
Well, then again, you didn't have to do that. You know, it's cost us money. That's one of the reasons it would have cost us more money.
Yeah, because I'm standing out for what I believe in, Carla. That's what makes me a libertarian.
Okay. Well, the thing is, the bottom line is, you have to come up with, I think the thing to do is to try to be less emotional and look at what's the
goal
here.
Heaven forbid that. Let's all act like wasps out there and don't show what you really believe in.
I'm not saying don't be emotional. I'm saying you got to look at the real practicality of this. Somehow it has to be paid for. Are you going to make the members pay for it? Are you going to make the other delegates subsidize the delegates who don't want to pay it? Or
again, that's the charge term when you say subsidize the delegates. Am I subsidizing the rest of the Libertarian Party when I get more signatures than anybody else does? No.
Yes, you certainly.
No, I'm not subsidizing. Everybody does something different. Don't say that you're subsidizing them. You're looking at everything from just a very narrow dollars and cents instead of looking at the whole big picture.
Well, I call it a contribution. You're making a contribution.
That's a point.
Right?
That's,
I mean, call it. I don't
that's
know.
That's a difference
a
than saying
difference.
Subsidization. That's a charged word.
That's true. That's true. Because subsidize means you're giving out usually other people's money.
Right.
And some would say that's what a floor fee is. Having no fee is that it's subsidizing. It's telling the other members they have to pay for the delegates, or telling the other delegates they have to pay for the delegates that don't pay. Because the money's got to come from somewhere. So you got to answer the question, where's the money going to come from? And if it's going to come from membership dues, well, you got to sell that to the rest of the members. Is that right? And if they think it's right, fine. You know, one person, the new chair, Jeff Neal, I believe, suggested, well, we could have a fund a designated fund that the party contributes to and let the members decide. Do you want to pay for the delegates who don't pay a registration fee, yes or no? And if we get enough money in there,
no.
Which I think would have to come to, you know, the better part of 100 grand, then it's paid for.
It still misses the point. It still makes the assumption that we're going to pay for somebody else. It's looking at it so narrowly. Instead of looking at
the
whole
is,
activism of the party and how everybody participates differently. And just
true,
because it's not a monetary contribution doesn't mean that it isn't very extremely important.
I agree. I absolutely agree that it is.
All right.
But I'm just saying to you, come up with a proposal for how it's paid for.
What we've done at the state conventions is that you can say subsidize. We've made sure we got a certain amount of people with meals and with hotel rooms so that we got the room basically for free. I know I'm an economics major. I understand that's not technically for free, but you know what I'm trying to talk about.
Well, what you're essentially doing is as having the other delegates pay for it. And if they're okay with that, I'm okay with it. I don't care.
Okay.
I'm just saying you can't just assume. Give it to me. You have to assume how it's going to be paid for. People's agreement to that.
We're running out of time. If you want to grow the party, and I think you're very insincere, you do want to go to the party, you have to somehow bring the fundamental principle libertarians back, because a lot of us are gone. And I wish you the best of luck in the world to do that. LP.org, is that where people can get more information?
Yes.
Thank you very much for being on the show today.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right, this is from Homer Simpson. Suppose we've chosen the wrong God. Every time we go to church, we're just making him madder and madder.
A program sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications.
This is the home of the most amazing show on the radio.